Hello, and thank you for tuning in to the Trinity Baptist Temple Church Sermons Podcast. At Trinity, we're not just a building. We're a church that teaches the truth, provides fun and safe ministries for our kids and youth, develops relationships by connecting in weekly small groups, hosts loving community events, and more. We love sincerely, connect deeply, and reach sacrificially. Today's sermon will be led by our youth pastor, Jeffrey Holt.
Well, good morning, church. Thank you for being here, being in your place. And if you're a guest visiting with us, we want to say welcome and thank you for joining us this morning. And we consider you an honored guest. And after the service, if you'll go by and stop by the Welcome Center, we'd love to give you a gift. And so this morning, I want to kind of jump into a Bible character, a man from the Bible. I want to start by describing this man and giving you a little bit of his background, which we don't know much about. This man, we don't know where he came from. We don't know his family line. We don't know his background at all, really. There's not much mentioned at all except for a short little book in the Old Testament that has three chapters. But we do learn some things about this man from these three chapters. We know that this man, he was a man who wasn't afraid to bring hard questions to God. He wasn't willing to let go until he found trust again in the midst of some extremely harsh and difficult circumstances. And if you've ever read this little book, you'll recognize this man's name from the Old Testament there, one of the prophets. This man's name was Habakkuk. And Habakkuk doesn't just step onto the scene with all of these credentials and all of these things. No, Habakkuk steps onto the scene in the midst of a burden, in the midst of a trial, in the midst of chaos and uncertainty. Habakkuk was a very unique prophet among the prophets. Most of the prophets that God was using at this time, most of them spoke to the people on behalf of God. But Habakkuk was different. Habakkuk spoke to God on behalf of the people. He went to God and begged with him and pleaded with him and asked God to show him what's going on, what is happening, why are these things going on to the land of Judah? Why is this thing happening? Habakkuk was a prophet of the living God. In a time when everything else around him seemed like it was falling apart. It was absolute chaos. The nation of Judah had turned away from God. Violence was increasing. Corruption seemingly was everywhere. And justice just seemed twisted. And the righteousness that was once there in Judah felt like it had been pushed away into the side and like it was never to be found again. And so Habakkuk finds himself in the midst of all of this, seeing everything that was going on, just in a desperate place, pleading with God. And like I said, if you haven't read these three little chapters of Habakkuk, I challenge you this morning to go home and read them. It's only three. It's a very short story, and reads more like a dialogue between Habakkuk and God. But here's Habakkuk in the midst of all of this. He saw it all. He was wondering what was going on. Didn't have any answers. But what troubled Habakkuk the most wasn't just what was happening, it's what wasn't happening. You see, Habakkuk hadn't heard from God in a long time. God seemed silent to Habakkuk in this moment. And he didn't like that at all. He was hurting and he was desperate. So Habakkuk stepped up and he did something that I think a lot of us are afraid to do. He brought his question straight to God. He didn't go anywhere else. He didn't talk to anyone else. We don't see that anywhere in Scripture. He just cried out, and he cried out words along these lines. How long, O Lord, am I going to pray, and it seems that you don't even hear me? Why are you allowing these injustices to continue? Why does it feel like evil is winning? This is what Habakkuk goes and cries out to the Lord with. Listen, Habakkuk wasn't walking away from God. He was wrestling with God. He was wrestling with some things that he was dealing with. He was wrestling with some silence because he hadn't heard from God in a long while. But then God showed up and God said, I got an answer for you, Habakkuk. There's one issue. It was in no way what Habakkuk was expecting. Matter of fact, it's probably not what Habakkuk wanted to hear. God showed up to this man and he says, listen, it might seem like I'm silent. It might seem like chaos is going on, but let me tell you something. I'm at work in this place. He goes on to tell Habakkuk that he's going to use a nation even more wicked than Judah to accomplish his will. He tells Habakkuk that he's going to use a nation that we know as called the Babylonians. And he's going to use them to bring judgment and correction upon his people. And I bet in that moment Habakkuk's like, I wish I hadn't have asked. Truth is, that didn't clear things up at all for Habakkuk. As a matter of fact, it made it harder. It made it more difficult. And now this man, this prophet, after he hears from God, he wasn't just confused about the silence. He was confused about God's plan. He was crying out to God at this moment. How can you, God, being a holy God, use something so unholy to accomplish your will? How can this be? He was petitioning God again. And even in his petitioning, even in his questioning, even in his running to God, instead of going a different direction, Habakkuk made a decision. And to shorten it up a little bit here, essentially he tells God, God, I will stand and I will watch. I will wait and I will hear. I may not understand what is going on, but I am not going anywhere, is what Habakkuk declared to God. And in that waiting, God gave him one of the most powerful scriptures, one of the most requoted scriptures in the New Testament, in all of the Bible, one of the most powerful truths in all of Scripture. He tells Habakkuk this, the just or the righteous shall live by faith. In other words, there are going to be moments in your life, Habakkuk, when you don't understand what God is doing. You have no idea what his plan is, and it just seems like a total disaster, a total mess. I said it a while ago, like our world is absolutely falling apart. There are going to be moments like that, Habakkuk, when you don't understand what God is doing. There's going to be moments for us when we don't understand what God is doing. But we are still called to trust who he is in the midst of that mess, in the midst of those moments. By the time we get to the end of chapter 3, this short little book about this man who we know very little about, something has changed. And I'm going to tell you this, it wasn't his circumstances, it was still a mess. It wasn't his situation. Judah was still corrupt and Babylonians were still coming and judgment was going to be executed on God's people. That's not what changed at the end of the story. The thing that changed for Habakkuk at the end of his story was his perspective. Because he says something like this at the end. He says, even if the fig tree doesn't blossom, even if there's no fruit on the vines, God, even if everything around me looks empty and broken and useless and worthless and a complete mess, even if all of it looks that way, God, he declares these words, yet I will rejoice in the Lord and I will joy in the God of my salvation. Somewhere along the way, Habakkuk's perspective changed. And he said, I'm going to worship. Habakkuk went from questioning God to waiting on God to worshiping God. Not because everything made sense, but because he came to understand this truth this morning, church. God is still trustworthy. I'm going to say it a couple times here this morning, but God is still trustworthy. Even when life is, even when life is not understandable, that just doesn't make sense. How many times have we said that? That just doesn't. It's just I can't make sense of it. God is still trustworthy. I'll say it again. God is still trustworthy, even when life is not understandable. Church family, I need you to bear with me for a few moments here while I speak to you from my heart about something very important. First of all, I want to ask you to be in prayer for our church. I want to ask you to be in prayer for our leadership. I want you to ask you to be in prayer for me and for Brother Tony. And more specifically, I want to ask you to be in prayer for our pastor Kyle and his wife Rochelle and their family. If you've been around this church any length of time, you know that God is doing some tremendous things. Some really, really special things. I don't know, I don't quite have the word in my vocabulary to describe how God is moving, how he's growing, how he's adding. Again, we are seeing growth. We are seeing movement. We are seeing people being impacted. We are seeing people enter into the baptismal waters. We have new members who will be announced next week. We have things happening and moving, and God is moving and working in a tremendous way. I was looking through the list of people who've signed up to be discipled again this morning, just praying through that list. And God, who do you want me to place them with? And that list is longer than it's been in years and years and years. There are so many people that want to know more about God and know the truth of God that I have to find and go hunt people down and say, will you disciple this person? God is moving and he's doing extremely special things in this church. Again, growth, movement, and impact. We see it happening in this place. But if you've been around this church for any length of time or around serving God for any length of time, you know that when God is at work, we know the enemy isn't going to sit quietly by. He's not going to sit on the sidelines. And when God is moving, when there's growth, when there's movement, when there's impact, spiritual battles often come right in the midst of those very moments. Right in the middle of them, all of a sudden, Satan rears his ugly head. I'm just going to be honest with you this morning, church, and let you know that Kyle and Rochelle are in the midst of one of those very battles right now. They've been walking through a season of intense pressure. Spiritually, emotionally, mentally, physically, and it's been a very heavy, heavy road. After spending some time together and in prayer and in conversation as elders of the church, me, Tony, and Kyle, we believe it's the best and most loving step right now for them to take a season of rest and to step back from their ministry responsibilities. And I do want to be clear about something this morning. This step back for them, this stepping away for a moment, is about caring well for people that we love who have served us so well. It's about giving them some space to breathe, to heal, and prayerfully to be refreshed and rejuvenated. So church family, here's what I'm asking. Here's what we're asking. Let's surround them with prayer. Let's give them encouragement and not pressure. Let's be a local body, a church body here that is filled with the grace and the support that they need. And then church, we have to come together and stay unified as the church. God is still working. He is still leading. He is still moving. He is still influencing. And we are going to continue to move forward together in faith. I do want to express to you that if you have any needs, if you have any questions, please, please, please do not hold those things in. Come to me, come to Brother Tony, come to both of us. We are here for you guys. I don't know how to express that enough, that we are here for y'all. And lastly, we love you all deeply. Colin, Rochelle, love you guys deeply. And we're grateful for the way that y'all care for one another. The way you encourage one another. And now's the time to be doing that with one another more than ever. Listen, that's one of the things that makes this church such a special place, a special church. Us seeing when people are going through things and rallying around one another with prayer and with support and with encouragement. That's what makes this place so special. We've seen it time and time and time again, and I am challenging us this morning to continue to do this as the body of Christ, lifting each other up, especially in uncharted waters, different seasons, a season like this that we've haven't gone through before. Would you pray with me this morning? Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. God, I challenged us here just a second ago to pray for Kyle and Rochelle. And I want to give us a moment to do that. So if we just pray there in our seats for just a moment for them. Let's lift them up this morning. God, and you know, maybe some people are processing this and maybe already have questions. What does that mean to take a rest and be away for a season, and I understand all of those questions. But God, I pray right now as we're about to dive into your word that you would prepare our hearts. And so I do want to take just another moment of silent prayer, us praying that you would prepare our hearts for what we're about to receive. Let's pray. And God, lastly, I want us to pray one more thing this morning. And that would be that nothing I'm about to say is about me. That it's all just pointing to you. That I could remove myself completely, that I could be removed completely from this, and it would just be your word going forth. And so I ask our church to pray for me this morning that would be accomplished. Let's pray that together, church. God, I'm already thanking you like Habakkuk, that in the midst of some things that maybe we don't understand and we have questions, that you're working, you're moving. I pray that as Tony was saying this morning, that no matter what we're facing, we would continue to rejoice, continue to worship, continue to praise, continue to work, continue to serve, continue to encourage one another. God, I pray that would be our resolve this morning, that even if when life is sometimes not understandable, we will know that you are still working, you're still moving. Bless now as we open up your word, as we glean a few things from this man that was introduced this morning, this Bible character, if you will, Habakkuk, this prophet. I pray that we would take some things away here this morning and be able to apply them to our lives. We love you, and we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Do you remember what I said earlier about Habakkuk? He wasn't just confused about the silence. He went on to be confused about God's plan. And a lot of times there's circumstances in our life that's exactly where we find ourselves. And I'm going to be honest, I know that when you hear some news like we just shared this morning, and we're not a church that typically does sabbaticals, which is a fancy word for some time away, a time of rest, it can be a little weird when the pastor's not there. It's just not something we practice as a church. And so we find ourselves sometimes in these situations where we don't quite understand. And I guess the title of today's message would when you don't understand, don't let go. I think it's a simple way of putting what Habakkuk was going through. He didn't understand, but he also didn't let go. He didn't stop clinging. He didn't stop doing anything. He just kept pressing. He kept asking. He kept running to God. Listen, tensions are going to happen in our lives. We know. We all experience tension. We all experience these things. We all experience those seasons in life and in church and in our families where things don't line up the way that we expected. Maybe not something we want to amen to, I agree, but I think we all agree that there are times where there's tensions in our lives and things don't line up the way that we expected. You prayed, but God didn't answer the way you thought he would. You were trusting him, but things still fell apart. You believed wholeheartedly, but then all of a sudden you were just left with more questions at the end of it. As we think back on the past few years of our church, and we think about the highs and the lows, the truth is some of us in this room are still grieving loss. Some of us are confused even this morning about what God is doing and what's happening. Some of us are trying to hold it together spiritually because of the things that are happening in our lives that are just so unexpected. But you just feel shaky. You just feel on the verge of something. Well, I want to challenge us again, church. I don't think this is just a personal season. I think this is a church-wide season that we're going through, and we must continue to cling to one another and pray for one another. And I'm going to challenge you right here, right now, before we even get into this message, to come back tonight. And I know there's some of you that's not possible, but if it is possible, be back here tonight as we come together as a church to be there for one another. Here's the danger when moments come along like this. If we don't handle it right, the confusion, the questions, the I don't know what's going on can sometimes turn into us distancing ourselves from God. But here's the truth, another truth I want us to anchor into today, or hold on to today, cling to today. You don't have to understand what God's doing to stay faithful to who God is. You don't have to understand what God is doing to stay faithful to who God is. And so point number one this morning there in your notes, I'm just going to tell you, it's okay to bring your questions to God. As a matter of fact, I think we should bring our questions to God. We should petition God. Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 2 and 3, he says, "How long, O Lord, will I call for help and you will not hear me?" He says, "I'm going to cry out to you and I'm going to cry out violence, yet you do not save. Why? Why?" The question here, why do you make me see iniquity and cause me to look on wickedness? Yes, destruction and violence are before me. Strife exists and contentions arise. Again, Habakkuk here and in this place, in this desperate place, and he says, "Oh Lord, how long? How long shall I cry that thou will not hear?" I'm going to tell you something. It doesn't seem like Habakkuk cleans it up very much here. It doesn't seem like he comes to God with this polished, pretty, perfect prayer. He doesn't clean it up. He doesn't filter his emotions. He doesn't do anything like that. He doesn't pretend like everything's fine and we're all good and everything's hunky-dory. No, he says, "How long?" He says, "Why aren't you answering me?" He says, "What in the world is happening, God? What is going on in my life? It just seems like everything's falling apart with me and your people." Listen, let's just say it plainly this morning. Faith is not pretending you don't have any questions. Faith is bringing your questions to the right source, to the right place. I have faith in you, God, so I am coming to you. I am clinging to you. I am running to you because I have questions. I don't know what's happening in my life. I don't know what's happening in my family. I don't know what's going on with my job, with my finances, with my kids, with my grandkids, God, I just need your help. Petitioning God, coming to him boldly and plainly. Faith is truly bringing those questions to the right place. In Psalm chapter 13, verse 1, sounds very familiar. The psalmist crying out, "How long, O Lord? Will you forget me forever?" Man, what a desperate place this psalmist was in. Are you going to forget me forever, God? How long will you hide your face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart all the day? How long will my enemy be exalted over me? Psalmist obviously had questions. And he wasn't holding anything back either. He was bringing them directly to his Lord, directly to his God, directly to Lord God Almighty. In Psalm chapter 73, starting in verse 2, he says, the psalmist says, but as for me, in the midst of the things this psalmist was going through, he made a very clear declaration. But as for me, my feet, they've come really, really close to stumbling. My steps have almost slipped. He says, "For I was envious of the arrogant, and I saw the prosperity of the wicked." Again, more scripture here just telling us that these godly men were looking around and they saw the chaos, they saw the mess, and they were, again, this psalm is clear. He's almost slipping, he's almost falling away. But if you skip down to verse 16, he says, when I pondered to understand all of this, I was troubled in my sight, but then verse 17, until I came into the sanctuary of God, then I perceived the end. And I was like, oh yeah, God is still fighting for me. God is still on the throne. God is still working and moving in the midst of these things that I don't understand and I almost stumbled out. God is still working. God is still moving. Our Savior, our Christ, our Lord Jesus was hanging on the cross. And in Matthew chapter 27 and verse 46, he said, my God, why? Why have you forsaken me? We might not understand everything that's going on, and we might have questions, but we need to, by faith, bring them to God. See, to think back when maybe you were a little kid and you saw your dad or your grandfather or maybe your guardian working on something, fixing something, and you didn't quite understand how it all worked. You didn't quite understand even the tools and the pieces and the things that were happening. But you didn't run away from that scared, being like, oh, I don't know what's happening here. No, most of us, if we have some sort of inquisitive mind, we're running to that father saying, what are you doing, Daddy? How are you doing that, Daddy? How are you fixing that, Daddy? What is this, Dad? And all the questions, Dad. We know, those of us who have children have experienced that. Instead of running away from him, we ran towards him, even though we didn't understand. We might not understand what's going on in our life. We might not understand what God's doing in particular circumstances and messes. But that's no reason to run away from the one who knows exactly what's going on. We should be running to him. Some of you may be asking questions, but it might have been in your own head. You might have been asking questions to other people, but not to God. I want to tell you, God can handle those questions. God can handle every single question that we have. God can handle it all. And I wholeheartedly believe that if we start pushing ourselves away and saying, I'm running from God because I don't understand it, that he's not going to bless in that distance. He wants us to run to him and say, come to me with your questions. It's okay to bring your questions to God. Point number two this morning, God's answers, don't always make sense at first. God's answers don't always make sense at first. Back to Habakkuk 1:5, he had just petitioned God and said, how long, oh God, are you going to do this? How long is it going to be this? Well, why is there so much evil and wickedness? And then God answers in verse 5, part of this dialogue. Habakkuk 1:5, he says, look among the nations. Observe, Habakkuk, look around, look at what's going on. Observe, be astonished, wonder at it. Because I am doing something in your days. You would not believe if you were told. Wow. God's saying, I'm doing something and you wouldn't even believe it right now, Habakkuk, if I told you. You wouldn't even believe what's going on. God basically says, I'm working and you just wouldn't understand it right now. You just would not understand right now. And that's hard. That's hard when we don't understand what's going on right now. Why? Because, well, we want immediate clarity. We want answers now. We want answers yesterday. We want to know what's going on. We want immediate clarity. We want logical explanations that we can work through it in our little finite minds and be like, oh, that makes sense. That's why. I don't know, something's going on. I was gonna say she's acting like a psycho right now, but I didn't want to imply that towards my wife, so. It makes sense, we want logical explanations. We want a roadmap. We want to know exactly how to navigate something. But oftentimes, instead of immediate clarity, we get silence like Habakkuk was facing. Instead of logical explanations, we get some long, drawn-out process that we need to work through and make it through and learn lessons from. And instead of a roadmap, God just says, hey, trust me. No roadmap, just trust. Just faith. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 8 and 9, it says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts." Amen. Nor are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For the heavens are higher than the earth, and so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. And praise the Lord for that. Because if it happened every way we wanted it to happen, we would be in a gigantic mess. Our lives would be a wreck. And yet God says, no, trust me. You don't need the immediate answer. Just trust me. John chapter 13, verse 7, Jesus answered and said unto him, what I do right now, you don't even realize. If you know the story, you know what's going on here. Jesus is in the midst of washing these disciples' feet. And Peter says, whoa, 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 whoa. You're not washing my feet. And Jesus says, Peter, you don't even know what's going on. You don't even realize what's happening right now. But you will. Trust me. Trust me. But you will understand hereafter. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, it says, for we walk by faith and not by sight. I'll have to admit that I think some of the most frustrating times in Christian ministry has been when God said, just trust me, Brother Jeffrey. And I'm like, I don't know. Doesn't sound like too much fun. I've been down this road before, God. Some of the times, again, the most frustrating answer is trust me. I recently rebuilt a cabin. And this cabin was definitely somebody's hunting cabin. They took every bit and piece that they could find on the deer lease and threw it into this cabin, and it was a complete mess. And as I was building that cabin, everything I touched broke. There was a moment where all the walls were stripped off. Every time I touched something, something else, all the plumbing was ripped out. All the electrical was being redone. There was no tile. There was no carpet. There was no flooring. There was no ceiling. There was nothing. And people would come in and be like, hey, how's it going? And it would look like total chaos. Tools everywhere, parts and pieces. Nothing was running. Darkness, no electricity, no water, no nothing. And definitely to anyone who walked in that room, in that cabin, there was no clear picture as to what was going on. It looked like total chaos. Week after week, my wife would walk in and be like, what are you doing? Tearing more things up. That's what I seem to be good at right now. Well, you know what? I was the carpenter, I was the trim guy, I was the plumber, I was the electrician, I was the tile guy, I was installing the fixtures, I knew that mess that she couldn't get a clear picture of, I knew that was part of fixing what was going on. I knew that there had to be a bit of a mess to get to the end, to get to the product, to get to a place where it was livable again. God sees the finished work. He sees it every time. We're stuck, looked at the disassembled moment when it's just everything, everywhere, and chaos. But God sees the finished work. Again, point number two this morning, God's answers don't always make sense. And this leads us to point number three. Waiting on God is an act of faith. Waiting on God is an act of faith. Habakkuk chapter 2 in verse 1, Habakkuk says this, I will stand on my guard post and station myself on the rampart. I will keep watch to see what he will speak to me and how I may reply when I am reproved. Then the Lord answered me and said, record the vision and inscribe it on the tablets that the one who reads it may run. For the vision is yet for the appointed time. It hastens toward the goal and it will not fail. Though it tarries, wait for it, for it will certainly come. It will not delay. And tell you something, Habakkuk, I said it in my intro once we introduced this man, this prophet. Habakkuk didn't quit. He positioned himself. He positioned himself. He made himself ready for what God was going to do in the midst of the mess, and he trusted the process that there was a clear vision with God in the end. He said, I'll wait. He said, I'll watch. And he said, I will listen. I'll wait, God, I'll watch, and I'll listen. I'm ready for whatever it is that you have for me, whatever it is that you have for your people. I will wait, I will watch, and I will listen. In church, that's what we must be doing. I want to encourage you that waiting is not weakness. Waiting is not some passive response. Waiting is definitely a positioning of ourselves saying, God, I'm ready. I'm looking, I'm watching, I'm ready. I am positioning myself for what it is you have for me and our church and our lives. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31, it says, yet those who wait for the Lord, wait a minute, those who wait on the Lord, they're going to gain strength. That's not weakness. Those who wait on the Lord, they will gain strength. They will mount up on wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary. It is clear that the waiting on this Lord, the positioning of ourselves as we wait on him, that it builds something in us. It builds strength. It allows us to be able to run. It allows us to be able to walk and not grow weary. There is a positioning that we need to have when we don't understand what's going on. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 25, it says, the Lord is good to those who wait on him. The Lord is good to those who wait on him, to the person who seeks him. It is good that he waits silently for the salvation of the Lord. Again, we might not understand it all, but we position ourselves to look, to wait, to listen. I'm here, God. I'm ready. I'm waiting. I'm listening. I'm positioned. And I'm ready to be strengthened. I'm ready. I'm waiting for you. Back to the book of Psalms, Psalm chapter 27, verse 14, the psalmist says, wait for the Lord. And while you're waiting, be strong and let your heart take courage. Yes, wait for the Lord. So what does waiting look like? How do we do that? How do we do that when it seems like our life is falling apart sometimes? How do we wait for the Lord? Well, waiting for the Lord, I think for the Christian, looks like staying connected to the body even when it feels hard. Hey, man, you're going through it. Your family's going through it. Maybe even you woke up that Sunday morning and it was not a good morning. The kids are acting all cray. The wife is a psycho again. It's just not good. And you're like, I don't want to go. But I believe waiting in the Christian life is staying connected even when it feels hard. Waiting is staying in the Word even when it feels dry. Like, man, I'm reading this day after day after day, and I don't feel like I'm getting what I need. Stay consistent. Stay waiting on the Lord. Stay strong in the Lord. Waiting looks like staying in prayer even when he feels silent. It feels like it's silent. It's not, you're not receiving what it is you think you need or God should be answering you with. I believe this faithfulness in uncertain times is one of the strongest forms of faith. When you see people, you've experienced, you've seen people's story, you've heard it, you've seen it, you've experienced it. People just remaining faithful through absolute chaos in their life, and you're like, that's amazing. That is something that I can take and I can learn from and I can glean from, to see them living their life faithful for God, even in the midst of some of the strongest storms. I do want to encourage us with one thing. As we're waiting on God sometimes in the mess, waiting for God to answer, waiting, trusting in God for him to lead the way. Be careful not to make permanent choices in the temporary confusion. Be careful not to make permanent choices in the temporary messes. We know that sometimes in the midst of the mess, in the midst of the confusion, people quit serving. They say, I'm done. People pull back from church. And unfortunately, a lot of times people drift spiritually instead of waiting and staying strong in God. And it's not because God failed them, but it's because they got tired of waiting. They weren't doing some of these things that we just mentioned a while ago. They weren't staying connected. They weren't staying in the Bible when it feels dry. They weren't staying in prayer when it felt like no answers were coming. And so they got tired of waiting. And so again, point number three this morning, I believe wholeheartedly that waiting on God is an act of faith. And that leads us to point number four. And we mentioned it earlier in the intro that it's a simple point. It's a point straight from Scripture. The just shall live by faith. Habakkuk 2:4, here's where it is. Behold, as for the proud one, his soul is not right within him, but the righteous or the just will live by faith. It doesn't say that the righteous or the just shall live by faith. It doesn't say that the righteous shall live by clarity. It doesn't say that the righteous shall live by circumstances. No, it says the righteous shall live by faith. This verse, as I mentioned in the introduction, is quoted multiple times in the New Testament. But Romans chapter 1, verse 17, it says, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, but the righteous man shall live by faith. Galatians chapter 3, verse 11. Now that no one is justified by the law before God, it is evident the righteous man shall live by faith. And then Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38. But my righteous one shall live by faith. And if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. I think the fact that God repeats this over and over and over again is telling us something. It wasn't just some momentary thing for Habakkuk. It wasn't some momentary verse for Habakkuk to put up on his wall at his house and be like, oh, I need to live by faith. No, it's a principle that we must all apply to our lives. Sometimes people get confused and they think, well, if I have doubt, then I don't have faith. Well, that's not true. This is simply not true. We see it time and time and time again in Scripture. Faith is not understanding everything. Is not understanding everything. It's trusting in God for everything. God, I don't understand it all. I don't understand everything. Faith is not understanding everything. It's trusting in God for everything. God, you're my all. You're my everything. I trust in you even though I don't understand it. The just shall live by faith. Brings us to the last point this morning. You can rejoice. We can rejoice. Church, we can rejoice. As Tony was saying this morning in his introduction reading there in Psalm chapter 30, I believe, we can rejoice even when nothing makes sense. This is where it all comes together for Habakkuk. This is where it has to all come together for us, church. That in the midst of it all, in the midst of the chaos, in the midst of the question, in the midst of the noise, in the midst of the grief, in the midst of the trial, in the midst of the things that we're going through, we can rejoice. Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 17. It's as though the fig tree should not blossom, and there be no fruit on the vines. Though the yield of the olives should fail, and the fields produce no fruit, and the flocks should be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no cattle in the stalls. I don't know about you, but that sounds like a pretty miserable place. No food, no fruit, no animals, no nothing. And he says this in verse 18, yet I will exult in the Lord. I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and he has made my feet like hinds' feet and makes me walk in high on my high places for the choir director on my stringed instruments. Here's the Brother Jeffrey interpretation. No fruit, no provision, no visible blessings. Everything looks wrong. But I'm going to praise the Lord anyways. I will rejoice in the Lord, he says. Not because his circumstance changed, not because things changed, but he's rejoicing because God didn't change. God never changes. God's always going to be there. God is there for him. He's not rejoicing because things changed, but because God didn't change. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. James chapter 1, verse 2, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. Now, if we're going to display mature faith, we will never say, you know what, I'll praise God when things get better. But mature faith says something like this, I'll praise God because he's still God. Because he's still God, I'm going to praise him. Habakkuk figured it out. He repositioned himself. And he was ready in his waiting, and then everything was a mess. He says, it doesn't matter. I'm praising you, God. I don't know what everyone's going through in this room. I don't know what questions you might have. I don't know what grief you're holding on to. I don't know what sorrow. I don't know what's happening in your marriages and in your with your children and with your grandchildren and with your grown children and those of you who have grown adults that act like children, grown parents that act like children. I don't know what's going on. I know. I'm sorry. Can't figure out this cell phone. Mom, I've told you 100 times. I don't know what you're dealing with. I don't know what we're all going through. I don't know what grief you came carrying in. I don't know what questions you have. I don't know what questions you have after we mentioned what we mentioned this morning. I'm praying for Kyle and Rochelle and us doing this out of love and care and compassion for them who've served us so well. I don't know how many of you are wondering, what is God doing right now? What is God doing in our world? It's like 1 minute we're dropping bombs, the next moment we're not dropping bombs, we're blowing up facilities. I don't know what's going on, God. Some of us came in here wondering, what are you doing, God? What are you doing with our nation? What is your plan? Let me speak very bluntly this morning again and from my heart. God has not, and he will never lose control. He has not abandoned you. He has not abandoned our church. He has not abandoned our families. God is absolutely still working, even when we cannot see it. Here's the call for us today. Don't drift. Don't disengage. Don't let confusion or questions or uneasiness push you away from the very God you need. Instead, you know what we talked about this morning? We need to bring our questions to him. We need to trust in him when we don't understand. We need to stay faithful while we wait. We need to live by faith and not by our feelings. We need to make this declaration once again. Even God, when I don't understand, I sincerely don't understand, I'm not going to let go of you, God. I'm never letting go of you, God. Heard a story one time about a, a man who got pulled out into the ocean. There was a storm going on, and he got too close and was looking at some things. And fortunately for this man, he was able to cling to a rock. And he started clinging to that rock, and the waves just kept beating on him and crashing over him, and the wind was blowing, and yet somehow, miraculously, through it all, he stayed alive. And I want to tell you something. Just because he clung to that rock, the storm didn't stop. The storm wasn't like, "Oh, hey, you're holding on to that rock. I'm done." The winds didn't say, "You know what, I'm done blowing because this man's clinging to the rock." The wind didn't ease up until that storm finally was over and he survived and he was able to make it to shore. And it wasn't because the storm was like, "I'm done with you because you're clinging to the rock." The storm didn't change. But what happened there, what made this man survive, what made this man make it through was the fact that he clung to something stronger than the storm. I don't know if you get the picture here, but that rock is Jesus Christ. He is stronger than any storm we can face. Church, will you stand with me this morning? Tony's going to start to play here. There's some of you who are carrying grief, and you need to come down to this altar. There's some of us here this morning that have unanswered questions, and we need to come down to this altar. There's some of us here this morning who are feeling distance, and we have to come down to this altar. Not because we're gonna come down to this altar and everything's gonna be fixed down here and we're gonna walk away and like, "Oh, I'm all good now." No, but we're coming down to this altar because we're saying, in the midst of my grief, in the midst of my unanswered question, in the midst of me feeling distance, I'm choosing to hold on to the rock. That's why we're coming down to this altar. God, I'm coming down this morning to cling to you. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. God, I thank you and praise you for what you're doing here in our church, and I pray that you would continue to work and move in a mighty way. God, I pray that now as we respond to this call, that we would truly cling to you, no matter what's going on in our life, no matter what's happening, and no matter what questions we have, no matter what grief we're going through, we will cling to the rock of Jesus Christ. You, the rock. Bless now during this time of invitation. Work and move in a mighty way. We love you and we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you again for listening to our podcast. If you would like to learn more about Trinity Baptist Temple or join us for our weekly services, visit our website at tbtchurch.org. You can also catch our weekly services live on Facebook and our YouTube channel. We hope to see you again very soon. Bye.